Welcome to part two of our conversation with Shannon Rogers about being an intuitive empath. You said the family had, it turned out to be an ancestral curse that was on them. Is that something that is more common than we give credit for, where maybe there is something on certain families? When you look at sometimes just, you know, quote unquote, the luck of someone's family. And there's obviously a lot of decision making that goes into any life. But when you look at some folks, even if they are poor decision makers, sometimes there's just a string of just things where it's like, even though they make poor decisions, they had no control over this or that happening to them. And just so many things that almost feels like a curse. But a lot of folks won't go there, won't say that, won't assume that that could be what's happening. But do you think that there are more things like that going on with families that seem to continually be troubled generation to generation, almost, where they can't get out of whatever seems to be holding them back, even when trying, even when good decisions are being made? Are ancestral curses more common than we're aware of?
And that's was the first situation I've dealt with that, and I haven't really dealt with it much since then. But there in that moment in time, I'm going to say yes by what was experienced. And I'll send you that audio sometime. I'll email it to you, and okay, you'll kind of see where I'm talking about. But I don't, you know that saying, I know enough to know I don't know a dang thing at all?
Sure.
I know what it was in that moment. I know what was in that moment, and it was very real. And through the person's history of what happened to her and her family and going so on, I absolutely believe it to be that scenario. Absolutely, 100%. And it's just, you know, I do believe that some people, just like, okay, like let's talk about PK manifestations. Like some people can cause this huge sludge on them, or other people can cause a huge sludge of negative energy that traps spirits and negativity and bad things around them. You know, it's just, I believe that there's some people just can't control what's happening to them. Absolutely, I do. And that's when you got to get outside help and, you know, bring someone in that understands or can find somebody that understands and helps.
When we're talking about that, and I know there's a non-disclosure on that, and we can't go into certain details, but were they aware that there was a curse on them? Was that something that they brought up to you, saying there's a curse on my family, or is that something that you discovered through investigating and digging?
Between the lead on that team, between her digging and the history and talking and conversations, that was what was brought up. And then what we experienced that night and through the evidence, it was, in my heart, I believe 100%. Somebody else might come along and say no, but you know, that's exactly what I feel what was going on, and it worked. It was broken. It took a lot of energy and about a 3-day paranormal hangover. But yeah. Like you don't experience stuff like that and be okay for a little bit.
Sure. Is there ever a way, if someone is sitting out there going, "My God, you know, I never thought of it that way, but my family has a horrible," and I'm not saying me, but I'm just saying someone out there saying, "My family has a horrible track record of really unfortunate things happening that were clearly beyond the control of the family members. I wonder if there is a curse. I wonder if there's something that we're unaware of that occurred way back with ancestors that we didn't know well at all. We don't know much of what they were into or what was going on," of identifying something like that, of identifying a curse without having knowledge of there being one, and then eradicating it if there does turn out to, in fact, be something there.
Yeah, I think it's very, possible. I mean, like I said, people just don't know.
Yeah.
And I've known people that, like, my whole family's been, you know, just bad luck. And now that's when you have to really look and see what's going on and dig deeper into the spiritual, metaphysical, paranormal world and say, you know, like, some people might just, you know, they've just had the luck of the draw and all had end up with attachments because of being around each other so long.
Sure.
Growing up and, you know, I mean, there's, like I said, every scenario is so different. You never know.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing. There are so many variables when it comes to this. So it's hard to give a blanket answer to any of this. And I totally understand that.
Right.
I mean, and that's why I like to get into specific locations and specific situations so we can talk more directly about how specific things were handled. When we're talking about seeing people at quote unquote haunted locations, and this is more so when we're talking about famous places that open their doors to hauntings, whether it be, I'm just thinking back to a book I just was reading where it wasn't about debunking, but it was about people go to the Winchester Mansion, and then this is the story of the Winchester Mansion, and it turns out factually most of the story is complete BS, and it was, you know, used to sell this house being haunted, but people still do in fact have experiences there, and I totally believe that. But you can look back at many locations, especially the uber famous ones that when we're talking St. Louis, the name escapes me. I should know this too, because I do the voiceover for the fake version of their haunted house that's put on the Lemp Mansion. There's many places like that tout themselves as being haunted locations, go in and investigate. Some are a bit more touristy than they are just for paranormal investigators, but places where they perpetuate the lore, but you can factually look at things and go, actually, that lore would be physically impossible because this person actually died in this other state. They didn't die in this room. They weren't performing exorcisms here or there. And we can factually
say
they're
getting weird evidence,
yes,
still, even though it's not true.
They're getting those things there, but the story itself doesn't add up in terms of facts. Is that something where you think the energy of people coming in wanting it to be haunted, you know, almost bringing that negative energy in, that almost creates a haunting in itself at times?
I just had this conversation with my tech guy, Daniel Cochran, and I was just like, you know, people can create their own paranormal environment.
Mm-hmm.
If they're wanting to experience that, especially there's spirits everywhere. They're not just like isolated to certain hotels or graveyards or, you know, museums or, you know, whatever, where someone got massacred in a home. Spirits are everywhere. And if you're wanting to listen to them, they're going to come up and like communicate with you and interact. I think you can definitely create your own paranormal experience.
When you have something like that, and sometimes what's interesting about that is the hauntings, the ghosts themselves, what people seem to claim to experience or even capture where there is evidence, sometimes lines up with the myth of the paranormal story that is being told. When that sort of thing happens, what is that? Is that almost just something where it's taking the form of whatever is going to be having the most scary effect on the individual investigating? Just like where you can have a demon or something look like a small child and feel innocent.
Exactly.
Is it just like, okay, that's your that's your storyline. I'm going to play that storyline.
Yeah, in my opinion, like, spirits are tricky.
Yeah.
Spirits and, like, I mean, they'll do or say whatever you want. They might be playing with us. Who knows? Like, you know, and I'm sure they hear the storyline all the time. And, I mean, who knows exactly why? That's why we investigate, because nobody really knows.
But, sure.
You know, in my opinion, yeah, I think they can absolutely fall into the role and just kind of, like, communicate with you or just by chance, and you're just like imagining that it coincides together. Like, you never, you know, like I said, it's all who knows.
It's almost in some cases like they're playing a role in a play. The spirits are,
yes,
in a specific setting, even though that this play is, you know, based on real events or something, like the real events really never quite happened the way that they were portrayed. It's just an interesting thing to think about after kind of soaking that one in. When someone is being attacked in their home, you had mentioned that earlier in one of the cases that you had been investigating, the garage door falling, things like that nature, where people are physically in harm's way. There's a potential for death. There's a potential for serious injury. Do you ever feel cautious? Are you ever scared to go into something like that and investigate where you realize that this is more than just we're going to pick up some audio, we're going to, you know, work our way to try and help somebody, but I may physically be in danger. Does that ever give you pause?
I don't really ever have so much fear. I have more fear about the people around me.
Okay.
About how it's going to affect them. I feel pretty protected, but there's always that chance. I'm very cautious. And like I said, I'm more concerned. Like I'm going to, actually for the first time, for some odd reason, the first time I'm going to Hill House, Haunted Hill House in Mineral Wells this weekend. And I'm being very particular on who comes with me. Mm-hmm. Because it's my first time there and I want to get a really good experience and I want everyone to be of sound mind from attachments and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, this is a grade A location and I want to make sure that that I can keep everyone there with me safe and also that, you know, keep myself safe and get the full experience and get a really good, deep investigation.
When is the time, and not based out of fear or anything of that nature, but is there times where you would just say, I'm not in a good place right now to investigate? What would that be where you'd have to turn it down?
Something as simple as Hill House Manor in Gainesville. The place is, it's moderately active. I mean, you can have moments there, but I was confronting a spirit that I got David from, and he's like, I know what you've done. And somebody was doing an isolation session, and I was at someone else's hosted event. And through the isolation session, it came saying, come to the back room, come to the back room. And everyone's like, oh, I'm not going. And I'm like, well, I'll go back there. And as soon as I did, I was like, David, I know what you did. And, you know, I think it's pretty horrible what you did. You know, communicate with me. I wasn't trying to, like, bash them or, you know, entice them in a negative way. I just wanted to communicate. And then right then I was like, you're standing behind me. And there was a psychic medium there. And he goes like, Shannon, he's absolutely right behind me. I said, oh, I know he is. And as soon as I said, I know he is, I felt like this, the whole backside of my body being penetrated by an energy. And right away I just started like, Archangel Michael, you didn't hear me on the audio. I was just like over and over and over again. And then it stopped. I got out of that room. I would not go back in there. Would I go back into that location again? I have gone back in that room again, but at that moment in time, you know, sometimes when it's time to stop because they're getting too strong and getting too brave, and you got to know how to protect yourself. Knowing how to protect yourself is key. Knowing when it's too much, knowing when, like, okay, they're getting very malicious and they're about to do something stupid. I'm not going to give them that opportunity just to get an experience.
Sure. When you know how to protect yourself, you've been around the block with this a time or two, you are very educated on it, you're experienced in it. What is your biggest fear going into a haunted location, whether it's known to be super haunted or whatever? Just as a whole, we all have thoughts like this, like worst case scenario, what is your biggest fear happening when you're investigating a location?
Someone with me getting affected to where it destructs their life. That's honestly my biggest fear, is it really affecting someone else. Because, I mean, people can say they're okay all they want, or you can try your best to protect them. Sometimes people do get affected. And a girl on my team, she's amazing. She's been doing this for about a year, and she's really embracing it and learning. And, you know, she's always there, 100%. But we were at the Nazareth a few weeks ago, and this was the first time she really got affected, and it took us a while to snap her out of it. And so she wants to go to Hill House Manor, I'm sorry, Haunted Hill House in Mineral Wells this weekend, and I'm like, I really have reservations about it, so I'm going to make damn sure that, pardon my French.
No, you're fine.
She has extra protection going in. She's going to be fully watched and monitored, but I have to give her that chance to grow.
Yeah.
And experience and how to get through, because that's how you learn. So I'm real protective of her. She's my girl. But I want to be there for her. And her wife is has gotten her a rosary, and that she's going to get blessed and everything. And so I just want to make sure she's protective, because if Nazareth could have affected her that way from that negative energy, then I just really, really care about her being okay. So that's, you know. how, where I'm on that one.
How does it affect people negatively when something like in the example of your team member, when you said it really affected her, how, like, what was that like? What was she experiencing after the investigation had ended?
Well, we went to help out a company that does tours. We went just to help them out at the Nazareth, and we were split up, and Tiffany's always been beside me investigating. And when they did, she was on a completely different floor. And then someone came and got me and said, you need to go check on Tiffany. Her name's Tiffany. Mm-hmm. She's not okay. And I'm like, instantly, I'm like, oh, man, I knew it. We shouldn't have separated up because I didn't know that place yet. And I got to her, and then, like, she was kind of better, but she wasn't. She was kind of foggy. But they said that she had, she was just zoned out for like 4 minutes. They couldn't get any words out of her. And then all of a sudden, you know, like, they gave her like a St. Michael's coin to hold on, and she kept throwing it. This is not like her at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she kept throwing it, and then it was just different things. So we started staging and holy water and, you know, just using every bit of, you know, I don't practice any certain things. I take the good of everything that I've come across. It seems that, like, feels right to me to use.
Yeah.
And so she eventually snapped out of it, but she wasn't okay. And her wife is definitely scared to death of the paranormal, but she supports Tiffany through all this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, oh, she's like, oh, I can't tell my wife. She's going to freak out. And we're like, you know, it's better that you do, because when you get home, you need her to watch you
yeah.
to make sure you're okay. But, and she's okay now. She's good. You know, it was just about an hour worth of craziness, but we made sure to protect her and watch her and look after her. So she's going to get tucked a little bit tighter under that wing, because she's going to be, she's blossoming such an amazing investigator, but we're diving deeper into darker places now.
Yeah.
And so I want her to grow, but also be protected in that process.
When she was in that state, what do you think was going on with her?
I just think there was a negative energy, just like, you know, she started like laughing like in an angry way. I wasn't there at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She started just looking at someone and just started laughing in like an angrily laugh and all that stuff. I don't, you know, like I said, when I found out, I was in a different floor, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So, but to see her so zoned out and to know her as much as I do,
sure.
You know, that was not her. So I'm sure that negative energy was just trying to attach to her. And the funny thing is, that same night, I was doing an isolation session trying to, you know, because, okay, we're going to help these people, you know, do this hosted thing. There's a lot of people here, but, you know, we're going to try to entertain them, show them different things. So I was doing an isolation session, and the guy behind me, you know, after listening to the audio, I was directing them where to move the stands, and I'm going to come at you. And then this guy they tapped me really hard, which you don't tap people in an isolation session real hard. It almost went to the roof when I came out of it, but they were like, we got to get him out of here. He's getting choked. And so they took him down. And so there was a few different people that were affected that night. Well, Lyndia Johnson was with me, and we, you know, we spent a while trying to help people kind of just, you know, kind of snap out of it. They were just like zoned out and feeling, you know, pacing or zoning out. And the crazy part is, Lyndia backed up, when everybody kind of left, Lyndia backed up her car to the front of Nazareth. And when she did, we were, you know, to load her equipment, we were talking about, you know, you need to make sure we do paranormal 101s with people, because you don't know how much experience people have. And even when they do, just to make sure about protection. And I was leaning my hand against her car door that was open, and she was sitting in it. And all of a sudden she just jumps and freaks out. And so did I, because me standing at her car door to the front right fender, I see this like shadowy figure, and it went through her windshield and next to her in the car. And her car, I'm surprised if the tire didn't come off the ground on her front right fender. And it was just like, she jumped out of the car. We were freaking out. And it was because we were talking about protecting people, but yet we were there trying to protect people and get, snap them out of the negative things that were going on.
Yeah.
So that was kind of crazy. It was like almost angry that we were trying to help. Sorry, there's a diesel truck behind me.
It wasn't a banshee. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
So, is that, what would you consider that almost like was something trying to, and I'm not trying to use over dramatic words, but were those individuals, was your friend Tiffany, is that correct? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Was she being possessed, or was it like the beginning stages of someone trying to be possessed? Is that an attachment? What is that when they're acting completely out of their own personality and seemingly not present?
I think, in my opinion, on what was happening, it was toying with her.
Okay.
Because she is a sensitive. She has had, you know, PTSD experiences in her life and everything, and I think she was the most vulnerable.
Okay.
And so is the guy that it attached to. It's just, I think it was more toying with them with the potential of an attachment.
Sure. Okay.
With that situation.
What draws you to a haunted location now? When you're out there and you're like, okay, we're going to go, we're going to make a road trip here or there. What are some of the things that you personally are naturally drawn to that makes it a location of interest specifically for you?
Well, the storyline, you know, when it's like a public place, you know, the storyline mostly is what I'm drawn to. And, you know, people's experiences when they talk, because I want to experience it all.
Sure.
And if it's something different that I haven't dealt with before, I want to actually start heading. I'm going to Gettysburg in November. I'm going to spend 5 days up there, and I'm going to be in Mississippi. It's just, I want to go different places. My end game is on paranormal. There is not one. I just want to investigate with as many people, as many locations as I can. That's my experience. I get such fulfillment from it, and I get adrenaline from it. I love the experiences. So, like, when I choose a place, it's one, sometimes it's about availability, too. But,
sure.
Like, there's the OP Pyle House in, I can't remember the name of the town. It's in Texas. And Lyndia was telling me about how much they are into the metaphysical and the different dimensional world and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's up my alley. I'm going.
Yeah.
So next weekend after I've finished out Hill House Manor, I'm going to stop in there. I can't remember the name of the town. I'm sorry. But I want to stop in there and just sit and have a conversation with these people. So it's just different experiences, really. Cause, you know, I want to taste all the flavors, if that makes sense.
That wraps up the second half of our conversation with Shannon Rogers. A big thank you to her for joining us on the program today. Until next time, from all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support and thanks for listening. Thank you.